1 John chapter 2. We'll start reading in verse number 12. Appreciate being in the house of God this morning. Appreciate the message. How true. Get back to what God wants out of us. I'm afraid we got some pretty good acting going on in the house of God. We're putting on a show a lot of times. And even, I'll be honest, even as a preacher, sometimes you want people to think you're really up on the front line, really spiritual. And sometimes you ought to be honest and say, I'm a long ways from where I need to be this morning. And pray for me. I get right with God. Well, the Lord loves an honest heart. We ought to be honest with Him. I want to read just a few verses and a simple thought on my heart, but I do want to leave what the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. It says here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, John's writing to these people and he says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Lord, help for a little while this morning. I want to preach on these verses and preach about the family of God. And I was thinking, and you can be seated. I was thinking about these verses of Scripture a while back down there. I was down at the barn trying to pray, and God began to deal with my heart on these verses. And I thought about it, and here He's not so much talking about age. It does have something to do with age, but about our spiritual growth and about where we're at in our spiritual journey. And I thought about these stages, little children and young men and fathers. And I just want to take it as the Lord give it to John. And about the first step here about these little children. And I got to notice He got to writing to them about they were forgiven of their sins. And they know the Father. And I thought that they can, what a blessing. When I come to the realization about being forgiven. When I'm going to be honest with you, I wasn't raised this way. I was raised in a modern church. I didn't know about God. Didn't know about it being real, really. I would go in, know what time was getting out and all that. But I one night went into an old storefront church. And a man of God preached the gospel to me. And I got under old time conviction. Got a load in my life. And God began to deal with me about being a sinner and about being lost and about the fact that I was on my way to hell. I couldn't told you very many books of the Bible. Couldn't have told you about justification or sanctification. I couldn't have told you. I couldn't even have told you really that if salvation, if you got it, if it lasted for eternity. I didn't know much about God. But God dealt with me and broke my heart and brought conviction into my life and troubled me. And about 3 months after that, in an old revival they was having in a barn, on a piece of ground that they bought to build a church, God drove me to Himself, and I humbly come to Him and repented of my sins, and God lifted that burden and put peace in my heart, and I know that I'm saved. Now, I want to be honest with you, that confounds the world, and they don't like it when you talk that language, but if you really get born again, it's something you'll know that God has done in your heart. You may not understand all about it, but you know something's happened, how the burden's been lifted, the peace has been put in, and you belong to God. I want to be honest with you. That's one of the reasons why I'm so convinced about this old time way. I wondered about God. I thought y'all were crazy people, really. To be honest with you, crying and weeping and praying, and preacher preaching loud and clapping his hand. I thought, how crazy a crowd. And that's nothing I want any part of. But God dealt different with my heart and drove me to Himself and birthed me in the family of God. And I know that I'm born again. I know my sins are forgiven. I know I belong. I couldn't have told you a lot, but I left that place that night knowing that I was part of the family of God and God had washed wash my sins away. I want to be honest with you. I'm not dealing with a maybe so or a hope so. It looks like we've come today in our churches where we're content to let them come to the altar and try to talk them up. But I say let them alone and let them pray until they know they've been born again and they can stand on their own two feet and talk about Amen. What God's done for them. I'll be honest with you, it's not an easy thing getting born again. If there's conviction and trouble sets up, I'd like to tell you, I got saved the first night I went, but I didn't. God had to break me down and deal with me, and had to deal with that rebellious heart and that ornery, stubborn thing that I thought I could do something to get saved and bring me to a place that night in the barn where I give it up and said, God, if you don't take it, I'm a goner. And then sweet peace rolled in and joy came in my heart. And I know that very moment that God had done something for me. It means something to know you're saved. You say, preacher, the preacher said it's alright. Our mom and daddy said it's okay. That ain't good enough. I'm talking about something where you can know for without a doubt that you've been born again. And that God, hey, you know what had happened to me? I became a new creature. God made something out of me. Put a new heart in my life. And changed me on the inside. And I'm not what I used to be. It means something to be born again. That's the first stage. And I'll be honest with you, that's a stage you never get over. I notice that God, all through that epistle's addressing his little children. That's the start, that's the foundation. But it's something you never get over. Being born again. Being in the family of God. But I will say this, that's just the beginning. That's just the start. That's the place where I got on the road. Yes. That's the place where God put me in the family of God. And that's the beginning of it. I don't want to stop there. He told them over there, I believe Peter talked about it in 1 Peter chapter 2. Laying aside malice and envy and all them things. Let us as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word of God that we might grow thereby. I want to be honest with you. And it's a shame to say, but there's a lot of people been saved a long time that are still little children. And they know they're saved. They know they belong to God. They know they're in His family. But they're not living in the victory. They're not fighting the battle. They're not being serious about serving God. They're playing games. They're just going to church when they feel like it. They're not really in this thing like they're supposed to be. But there's a life to live when you get born again. There's something about this. Now, you know, he takes next them fathers. Looks like he already dealt with the young men next, but he talks to them fathers. And he repeats the same statement. He said, you've known him from the beginning. And the other two, he talks about things a little bit different. But it's the same thing. Both times he talks to them fathers. You have known him from the beginning. I'm convinced, and I know I'm preaching to people this morning, some of you older men of God, Brother Garrett and Brother Milby and Brother Jenkins, and these brothers, and Brother Wayne Henderson, it's been a long time since I've seen him. But that year he come up here and preached on this tabernacle. He touched my heart. And bless me. And you know, you men have fought the battle. You've been in the valleys. You've been on the mountaintop. I realize it's dark today. But you know what I like when I watch you all? You ain't shaking about it. Because you know Him. And what He's done in your life before, He'll do it again. I'll be honest with you. Oh, for some old saints of God. When everything's a rocking and rolling. To stand up inside us, I want to tell you. The same God that helped me yesterday will help us today. The same God that heard my prayer when my children were sick will hear us today and help us today. Isn't that right? I'll be honest, when you first get saved, you're a young child, you're little children, your eyes get open, you begin to see the world like you didn't see it before, and all of a sudden you realize how bad it is, and you realize what a shape we're in. And you get a little rattled about what's going on. But thank God for them old saints that stand up and say, listen, it's alright. We've done been down this road. It's still worth it. Serve God. And He'll not fail us. That is right. I'd say this to
The older ones, don't compromise. Don't quit. You're the guys. You're the ones standing out in front. You've fought the battles. You've got the scars. You've been the valleys. You've seen the troubles. And now you can look us in the eye on Sunday morning and Wednesday night and say, I want to tell y'all, God's good. He's always been good. He heard me when I cried before, and He'll help us now. I preached down there a couple Sundays ago. My first Sunday at that church, after they called me pastor, and actually the Lord laid this scripture on my heart, and I told them, as a lot of them had gotten saved in the last 2 or 3 years, and it's all new to them, a new preacher, one to leave it, another one coming in, and they's all shaken up, and I told them ones that had been through it before, you just hold the ground and keep testifying, so these youngins will stay steady. Don't give up, you've been here before. Keep on fighting the good fight. You know what he says to him? Paul told Titus, he said, you instruct them older women to guide the younger women. That's how it works. Listen, you don't. There are some things you learn on your own. You learn your prayer places. But thank God for some godly people that stood ground in front of me, fought the battle and pointed the way. Hey, listen to me. Brother Milby helped me so much when I first called and announced my calling to preach. He's a preaching revivals, probably 25 or 30. But he'd tell me, and I know he didn't have time, and I know he's tired, but he'd say, come over to the house Friday night when I'm home. And we just sat in the living. I was a quiet backwards boy, but he'd talk to me about the Word of God. He'd tell me to do this and study that and pray. Hey, you know what he's doing? He's helped me hold the course and tell me what was right. Hey, we need that in the day we're living in. We need some older ladies how to scrooge up next to some young ladies and say, dress right, raise your children, stay at home and love your husband, and do what you know's right. We need to hold the course in the day we're living in. Stay with what we know is right. And then he said, you young men, he said, I write to you because you've overcome the wicked one. You've been strong through His Word, and you've overcome. Boy, I'm glad when the fire gets in your belly. I want to be honest with you. I got saved. The fire wasn't in my belly like it's supposed to. I was glad to say. And I wandered around for a little while, but I'll never forget that day in the living room when I was praying and they'd have put me in teacher in Sunday school, and all of a sudden the Word of God come alive to me, and God did the deal with my heart, and God put a fire in my belly, and I want to do what's right and fight this battle. There's a lot at stake today, and there's no place to lay down.
Amen.
It's through the Word of God that we get the victory. It's by laying hold to His truth and following His direction and let the Spirit of God lead us that we can have the victory in the day we live in.
Amen.
Battle's real. A lot of people's quitting. A lot of people's wavering. A lot of people's changing. A lot of churches are going, I don't know how it is we are, but we live in a country in the day we're living in. It looks like, and I know the lost ought to be the number one thing on our heart, but it looks like that's all we're concerned about. And we're not heard about growing and becoming established and rooted. Just get them saved and let them go. Hey, I'll be honest with you. You get saved, then the church has got a great responsibility to take hold of those people and the preacher to preach to them and the church to love them and live right in front of them and get them rooted what's right so they don't wander around. Hey, I'm scared of this crowd that talks about getting saved. You can't find them in 3 months. Hey, I believe. And maybe some of them really are saved. But the church missed out and didn't do what they're supposed to do.
Right.
It is right.
You're right.
We let them go. We get a burden for them when they're lost and then they're in sin and they're hooked to the bottle and all. But once they get saved, we forget about them and quit praying for them and say, find your own way. That ain't the way it's supposed to be. We're to live right in front of them and preach to them and guide them on the journey so they realize there's something better than what they've got. There's a life to live. It's the enemy's real. I'll be honest with you, we are basically fighting a battle on all sides now. Something I heard the other day is right. We don't only have to worry about the wolves out there. We have to worry about the wolves in here in sheep's clothing. Stand on the gate and watch and warn and labor and preach and tell people and weep over them and pray for them and dig down deep and ask God to help. We're facing an awful battle. I think it's in 2 Samuel chapter 10. David is sitting, Joab and the army out to the children of Ammon. They've done something to bring reproach on the children of Israel and how they've treated some of his servants. And Joab gets over and surrounds it, and all of a sudden he realizes that those children have hardened the Syrians and they've come on the backside of him. And he don't carry down. He doesn't say the battle's too great. He gets his brother Abishai, I believe it is, and divides the army and says, you take this half over there and I'll take this half over here and let's be men about it and fight the battle. If you need help, you holler and I'll come. If I need help, I holler and you'll come. Hey, that's the way we're, I've got my place, you've got your place. Let's just do what God wants to do. And if you need a hand, give a holler and I'll do my best to pray for you and fight the battle with you. We need some men. Got fire in their heart. Over in 2 Chronicles, chapter 12, I believe it is. I read it again this morning. David's out there in the wilderness. He's not popular, but he is supposed to be king. And those men that have been touched in their heart that he is king and who love him are running out to him and joining up with him and getting close to him. He's not popular then. He's not loved like he should be. Israel's not serving him like they're supposed to. But these men are convinced in their heart that he is king and they want to serve him. And instead of that crowd there, there's a group of them knew what to do in the days they was living in. They were men that knew how to keep rank and were not of a double heart. You know what that means? They knew how to get in their place. And they weren't trying to love David and love the world. They wasn't trying to love this and love that. They loved David, their king, and loved God, and got in their place and said, let's march on, David. It may not look good. We may be despised, but we're on the winning side. I want to say to you, it may not look very popular. It isn't very popular, what we're doing today. But all it pleases the Lord. And I say, let's get in line and do exactly what God wants us to do and stay with Him. Be true to you. He said, you young men, you've overcome. Got the fire. It's up. You know, I realize that I'm getting older now. I'm not that old really, but I'm in my 40s. And I'm seeing, when I first started counting my calling to preach, there's still fire in my belly. And I'm realizing now, there's a right way and a wrong way to go about things. Just because I'm right about something. I lost my first church because I didn't know how to do that. They run me off. Because I'm a bull. I'm just being honest with you. I said, this is right, and this is what we're going to do. And I didn't let the Spirit lead me. I just said, this is right. And there's a bull about it. You don't do that. You don't drive sheep anywhere. You lead sheep. There's a lesson I had to learn. I'm getting a little gray on top now. I'm seeing that there's still got to be that fire and you still got to fight that battle. But there's a right way. There's a right time. And you got to be led by the Spirit of God. Brother Milby told me when I was preaching one time, he told me, and it's helped me so much. He said, just because you see it and you know it's wrong, don't touch it until the Lord tells you.
That's good. Amen.
That is right.
Right.
Let the Lord lead you. And isn't it amazing how a preacher can preach to somebody and lay them wide open and pour the salt in. And afterwards they'll come up and put their arm around and say, thank you, preacher. I love you.
Amen.
I love you. We're fighting a battle.
Yes.
We need some men to get on the front line. Be men. Paul told the Corinthians in the last chapter as he's getting done. He said, be strong. About being faithful and about praying. And he said, quit you like men. In other words, be men about it. Don't whine. Don't suck your thumb. Don't have a pity party. Just realize it's the day we're living in. We can't change it. So what we need to do now is just get in the battle. And do what God wants us to do. I preach what the Lord wants me to preach.